You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tribal headquarters of All Marine Radio, where we collide on a daily basis, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, live from 7 to 10 Pacific time, runs on a loop the balance of the 21 hours of the day, till we do it again, or you can go to the podcast page and rip them off the podcast page. It all works for us. But we talk about post-combat related mental health. We talk about the culture of the Marine Corps. We talk about American culture. We talk about making a difference. So, welcome to La Maison, as the French would call it. You know, I said that if I was awake, if God woke me up, I'd get up and watch Prince Harry's wedding. I watched it twice. God woke me up at 3:37 Saturday morning. And then I tried to go back to sleep. And I can tell if I'm going to go back to sleep. Yeah. When you don't sleep well, you can tell. You know, sometimes you're like, ugh. You roll over and you're like, go back to sleep. And it works. Other times, do the same thing. And then, like, 2 minutes later, you look around and you're like, this is not going to work today, sports fans. But I'm going to fake it here for another 15 or 20 minutes and see what happens. So that's what I did. And then, so I got up and I watched the wedding the first time on the BBC. Yeah, to see what the Brits had to say about it. But I will tell you that I'm a fan of that guy. If there's a young man on the planet that has an excuse to be a complete idiot, it's him. It's Harry of Wales. And he was in Afghanistan when the gunner and I were there, flying Cobras, and they were right next to us. So we used to do some stuff in conjunction with them. We used to cooperate with them when we'd be doing what's called cross-boundary stuff. Somebody trying to get away from us, going to their battle space, or conversely, somebody trying to get away from them coming to our battle space. And so he's a bro. That's right. He's in the fraternity. But nobody will ever forget him walking behind his mother's caisson, as it made its way through the streets of, I think, London. And at 11 or 12 at the time? Yeah. Losing his mom, one thing, going through all that, in a very public way, very, you know. So as I said, he has every right to be stupid, you know, jacked up kid. Instead, he does things like start the Invictus Games, which brings together disabled veterans from all over the world to compete. And I want to say I interviewed, it was either Mike Wishnia or Sarah Rutter, both Marines who are, Sarah's an amputee. I should get Sarah back on, but if you listen to the interview, write this down, S-A-R-A-H, Sarah Rutter, R-U-D-D-E-R. Pump that into the podcast page. I'll give you a thumbnail of her Marine Corps story. She hurts her ankle, and I want to say maybe during recruit training, and or not too long after that, she's being med boarded out of the Marine Corps because her ankle's damaged. So she's at headquarters Marine Corps, kind of in a holding position. I think she was an admin Marine. And so she's doing admin there, pending the appeal of her med board. So, she's out, she gets promoted on September 11th, 2001. For all of us who remember where the Marine Corps annex was, yeah, it's just up the hill from the Pentagon. So they complete the ceremony. She's outside smoking, as Lance Corporals will do, being the rebellious souls that they are, when the plane crashes in the Pentagon. So they go down there to help. They're then formed up, I want to say, they provide security that night, and then the next day they go inside the Pentagon to begin to bring bodies out. In the course of bringing bodies out, she damages her ankle further. After living like, after being medically discharged subsequent to that, because of the damage compounded by what happened on September 11th, yeah, so it's an amazing story. She lives like that, I want to say, for 13 years. Until 2000 and probably 14 or something like that. And then she makes a decision that she's going to have it. She's now a mom. She's going to have her leg amputated below the knee. So she does that. And then somebody tells her about, you know, she can compete in, you know, the Warrior Games. And so she begins to train, and now she's a stud. She's a stud Warrior Game athlete. And I want to say she won 7 gold medals at the Invictus Game and had a chance to meet him. She said he's a cool guy. Very, very at ease around everybody. And if you read the things that he says, you know, one of the reasons that he loved serving in the British Army was, you know, he was just another guy, you know. He wasn't anything special, which I guess when you've grown up like he has. And the other thing, I've always been, since I was a little kid, I love military parades. And the Brits can, you know, when those cavalry guys that, you know, follow him and lead him throughout that parade, for whatever reason, man, I like that stuff. So I got up and I watched it once live. And pretty interesting, I won't say clash, the union of not only is she American, she a person of color in the United States. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'll go out on a limb and say Stand By Me has never been sung in a wedding by a gospel choir in the UK. No, I shouldn't say in the UK, but in Windsor Palace. So pretty interesting. And then they had all the fanfare, so I watched that. And then watched it a second time on Fox just to see the American thing. A little bit interesting. So, yeah, I did that. I also, I did a lot of yard work. I don't mean a lot of yard work. I mean a lot of yard work. I don't even know what I'm going to do with all this stuff. What do I do with all the yard clippings? There's one bundle that I have tied up in a tarp. I don't think I can get it through the gate of my backyard. I think I'm going to have to bring a helo in. Yeah, I'm going to have to bring a helo in, drop a cable, and have them hoist it out of my backyard. Hope the tarp holds, because if it doesn't, it'll destroy the house as they lift it over it. If it breaks. Yeah, there's not much stuff. So I did that, and then on Saturday, I had a chance to finally meet Ken and Betty Rogers. Sadly, it was at the funeral for Ken Pipes. And so he passed away a month ago or so. And Ken Pipes is a company commander, is the my experience was it's interesting. Driving down from, you know, the Newport Beach area to Fallbrook, where the service was held. And so it starts with the drive down there, and it just got, you know, and that is through Camp Pendleton. You go in through the San Mateo Gate, because when you're driving from Ocean, from Newport Beach area to Fallbrook, the I-5 on the weekend is horrible. And it gets backed up into, you know, between, for those of you that are familiar, between Oceanside and San Clemente, it starts backing up there. Then it's bumper to bumper. So, if you can cut through Camp Pendleton, you can shave 45 minutes off the trip. So I thought that would be a good thing. But that trip is filled with, you know, tons of memories for me. So you go in the gate, my youngest son is stationed right there right now. At Camp San Mateo. I was stationed there with 5th Marine Regiment when I deployed with them to Fallujah in 2006. You go over the hill, you go through the place I hate the most, which is SOI, because they have a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit through the camp. Okay, 15 miles an hour, really? Like, who drives 15 miles an hour on the planet besides nobody? But you have to do it through the School of Infantry. That's right. My goal was, one of my life goals was to drive through there at about 80, simply because 15 miles an hour irritates me. But anyway, I observed it. You drive from there to Camp San Onofre, home of the storied 1st Marine Regiment, and has been their home for a long, long time. I was a lieutenant in 5th Marines, but they were stationed at a different camp before they reshuffled them. Before 7th Marines went out to 29 Palms, they were at Camp San Mateo, which is just, maybe 2 miles from San Clemente, so it's the best camp to be stationed at. Anywho, so you drive to San Onofre and home of the 1st Marine Regiment. And, you know, I deployed with them to Afghanistan, so full of memories of my friends at working there. And then, through the camp. And then from one, you can see one of the hills that I spent one of the coldest nights of my life on. I swear to God, it was about 40 degrees and rained all night. And we hadn't expected it, so we weren't geared for it. Yeah, it sucked. And then another place, the Deluge training area, where I saw a picture of myself going through a initiation ritual. My Marines posted it on this little website they have. My Charlie 15 Marines. Yeah, it's me with a motivated flat top. Hacking the crap, blindfolded, on my knees with an e-tool in my hand, trying to hit what I thought was a dime. It turns out they put my cover in front of me, and I still have that cover. I kept it, so you drive through and you see those places where those things happen. You drive out the back gate and through the ammunition supply point, and then to the, and so that's how my day started. I get there and I walk into the foyer and I see Major General McMonagle. I served with his son. If you listen to the program, General McMonagle changed my life. He got me my infantry MOS back, which kept me in the Marine Corps. And then, so I see he and his lovely wife in the foyer. So I talk to them, and I wind up sitting at the funeral with them. And then during the funeral, I see Ken Pipes. I see Ken Rogers, who produced Bravo, Uncommon Men, Uncommon Valor. And I've never met Ken. I've talked to him, you know, he's been on the radio. I talk to him on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, via messaging apps. And, so I got a chance to meet he and his wife. And, you know, I will say this. Well, I won't say it yet. I'll say it in a few minutes. And so then had a chance to, you know, just to listen, Ken Pipes, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, Company Commander of Bravo Company at Quezon, he was an incredible leader his whole life. Incredible, selfless leader. And I'll play some of his audio during the week this week, because he's one of those humble leaders that you meet in the Marine Corps that does incredible things and then spends the rest of his life continuing to do those incredible things in the most humble of ways, touching people around him, because that's just the guy that he is. He's not trying to be a leader. He's just trying to be Ken Pipes. And so after he got out of the Marine Corps, he retired in Fallbrook, and then married to the same woman for 56 years. And then they have a son, and he spent 26 years as a reserve San Diego County Sheriff, and all kinds of interesting things, from helping veterans, being involved in a program that veterans could get into when they found themselves in jail, that got them back on track, you know, to just normal crime stuff. But what a leader he was, what a presence he was. So it's really very, so had a chance to listen to people eulogize him. And the service was great, and got a chance to, I think they sang six versions of, hold on, I'll tell you the song because I have a program here. Six versions of Onward Christian Soldiers. I don't know that I ever sang that song. Might be a Protestant song. But I never soaked six verses of it, for God's sakes. So I'm standing next to General McMonagle, and he can't sing for anything. So, but he's one of those people that he's singing, right? I'm like, good God, man. somebody help us. No, but it was cool. The highlight, in addition to just the different eulogies that were given, was singing the Marine Corps hymn, and the person that was conducting the ceremony said, I think we should all hold hands when we do this. So I was holding General McMonagle's hand, singing the Marine's hymn. And it's funny. Now, these are mostly retired guys in, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s there. You get to the third verse, nobody has to tell anybody anything. The third verse booms. If the Army and the Navy ever look on heaven's scene, they will find the streets are guarded by United States Marines. We had the coolest song. I mean, think about that. That thing was written forever ago. First to fight for right and freedom. First to fight, man. That's been part of what Marines are forever. First to fight. And to keep our honor clean. Why did they put that in there? And then there's even a sense of bravado and a touch of humor in it. That's why it's such a cool song. So, So, and then afterwards, and let me just tell you one of the amazing things that Ken Pipes did for his family. He wrote kind of a bit of a letter poem to them, and he made sure it was in a place where they could find it. And the line I won't forget in it was, you know, none of us are sure what happens beyond this. But for me, heaven was being here with you. He left his family with that. So even in death, he was continuing to lead, to comfort, and to be the man that they had known, you know, his wife for 56 years, probably more than that, and his kids for their whole lives. Pretty amazing, though. Pretty amazing. So you'll hear more from Ken Pipes. And the reason I want you to hear is when he talks about leadership, when he talks about what it is to be a Marine, he never uses the pronoun I. He doesn't talk about himself. He gives examples of leadership from his Marines. And he didn't have to look very far. He didn't have to look very far. After that, went to the VFW. After that, they had a reception. Okay, now here's the next thing that happens. After that, there's a reception there. So I meet Ken Rogers and Betty Rogers. So we're talking, we're standing out kind of in the foyer of the church, and he says, hey, you need to meet him. And he points to this guy who's maybe in his, let's see, he was born in 60. So he's probably close to 50. His name's Ron Rice. And you'll hear about Ron Rice. Ron Rice's father was killed at Quezon. He was 4 months old. So he's never known his father. He went looking for people that knew his father, though. And he ultimately took a trip to Vietnam with other Gold Star siblings, other Gold Star children, to meet Gold Star children of North Vietnamese soldiers and, I guess, Viet Cong soldiers. And so he starts to tell me the story, and it's an incredible story. And now he's helping other children, Gold Star children, to do the same thing, to deal with their pain. And he tells me a story about how he was blown away that he started going to, his father was in Alpha Company 19, and he starts going to their reunions. And he thinks he's met everybody in the platoon, but then at one event they said, hey, have you met, and I can't remember the guy's name. And he says, no. And they said, you need to meet him. So somebody gives this guy his phone number. He was in the fighting position with Ron's dad when his dad was killed. And he said, he told me the story about how a friend of my dad's was hit, and my dad went to go help him as they were getting, you know, some kind of artillery or mortar barrage. And the other guy in the fighting hole, who was more senior to him, grabbed him by the pants and pulled him back in and said, not yet. He said, you'll get killed. And so he tried it a second time, and the guy grabbed him a second time. Third time, he waited till the guy was either shooting his rifle or ducking or something, and then he took off. He was killed instantly by a round that hit him directly. He didn't even know this guy existed. And he tells Ron, he says, my son's named after your dad. Every year, my wife and I go to D.C. to visit your dad. On, I don't know if it's Memorial Day or the anniversary of his death. March 30th is the anniversary of his death. And so he said, I was blown away. Here's this guy devoted to my dad who names his son for my dad, who visits my dad, who I had no idea even lived there. And he talks about what a healing experience it has been for him to get to know these people, to be accepted in our tribe. Yeah. And he said it's been one of the great experiences of his life to be able to hear this song and say, that's my tribe. And I said, you're part of it, man. It's sometimes it's hard for us, though. I will tell you that we amongst ourselves have this way of dealing with death. But when the lens gets broadened and wives and children get involved, it's much harder for us. You know, because they strip away your calluses and make you visit a place that we don't like to visit. You know, we get comfortable visiting Iraq and Afghanistan and our lives together in Vietnam. But when we have to go into their residence with their children and their wives, that's hard. And so, but he's talked about what an incredible experience. So you'll hear from Ron Reyes. And so I'm talking to Ron Reyes. Yeah, hey. He's like, Mac, what the hell? Exactly. So then Rogers walks by me and he says, and he looks at me and I'm still talking to Ron and he says, incredible story. Isn't it? And I said, leave me alone. I'm talking. So I didn't tell Ron. I said, hey, I need to go over and meet Ken's better half. I said, you can be here for a while. He said, yeah. I said, because you got to come on All Marine Radio and tell your story. And he said, I'd love to. So yeah, Ron Reyes, being a Gold Star family, being a Gold Star, being a Gold Star son. He said, you know, and one of the things he told me that I'll never forget that he said, you know, I didn't have a vote in this. You know, I didn't have a vote in this. And so, So then Rogers comes over and we're talking and it's very interesting. And I made this observation later at the VFW because we went there afterwards. You know, so I'm talking to he and his wife and I said, you know, it's always intrigues me. It's obvious what can you see in Betty? But like Betty, I said, you're far more interesting, Betty, and let me tell you why. Okay, in you he sees an angel, right? Of course. So he's part devil. So you're much more an interesting person. You're a bad girl. You like bad guys, don't you? She starts laughing. I said, so you look at that and see Romeo? And I said, so you're the one with issues, man. He'd make it a good decision. You? And honestly, though, it's interesting. The women who gravitate to the men that I know. Because they're not, they got issues, man. And so the women, they got more issues. Yeah. Yeah, they look at that. They like to live dangerously. So they're great people. They're on their way to San Antonio. Ken's talked about, and I need to get Betty on because her perspective in all this is unique too. The wife of a Vietnam veteran, right, who'd never went there, never been to, you know, well, I don't know if she's been to Vietnam. I don't think she has, but obviously wasn't there, but sees his world through a prism that looks through him. Right? And so that perspective. Anyway, their second documentary is about caregivers. And they were headed to San Antonio to go ahead and interview two women in Texas about being lifelong caregivers and that experience. So you'll hear more about that. So we're standing there talking and Rogers looks at me and he says, hey, do you want to meet one of the corpsmen from our company? I said, yeah, I want to meet anybody. And so he introduces me. If you've seen the documentary, he introduces me to Doc Seah. Okay, and he's the corpsman featured prominently in Bravo. His story is incredible. He was on the, for those of you who've seen the documentary, he was on the Ghost Patrol. If you haven't, at Quesa, they sent out a patrol of probably close to 60 Marines. And they were annihilated. Probably by a force of 1,000 that was dug in, that the intel guys didn't know about, that the patrol wasn't warned about. They saw two NVA soldiers, radioed back, hey, should we go try to snatch these guys? If you can. Right? It reminded me of Robert E. Lee's admonition to Henry Heth when Heth was going to Gettysburg. Lee's army is strung out through Pennsylvania. So he doesn't, and his cavalry is nowhere near him. So the intelligence picture in his head is not very solid. Heth says, I want to go to Gettysburg to get shoes. And Lee tells him, you can go, but I don't want you to get in an engagement. All right? The rest is history, so they say. So Skipper Pipes, as he's known, said, look, you can do it. Do not take on anything more than you can handle. So as they moved to go grab these two soldiers, they were annihilated. And only a handful of guys survived. Well, Doc survived that. I don't know how many Purple Hearts he got at Quezon. So he turns, and I looked at him and said, I know you. And he looks at me and goes, how do you know me? I said, I've spent hours with you in that documentary. And I said, how are you ever right in the head? And he says, I'm not. But he went back, came home, went back to Detroit, Michigan, where he's from, and went back to work for Chrysler, who he had worked for before he left. And I want to say that GM, Chrysler, all those car companies had programs that if you came, you got your job back. If you came back, I think it was within 6 months of your date of discharge. And so, yeah, how about that? And so he spent a career at Chrysler. And goes back to work for them on occasion and managing factories and things like that. So I've heard that guy talk about, Quezon. And so he and I start talking, and so it was awesome. So spent some time with him and then with Ken and Betty again. So, just an incredible, tribute to Lieutenant Colonel Pipes. And then the people associated with that group is amazing. And again, the more of this that I do, the fighting that we've done since 1968 has been nothing like we did in 1968. I was, 66, 67, 68 in the Central Highlands, right? In the northern part of I Corps when the Marine Corps fought the NVA. We haven't fought an enemy like that. We haven't fought an enemy like that. And I honestly, I think of the fighting they did and what they went through. I mean, in 1 month, in Operation Prairie 1 in 1967, and General Neill was on, 2 weeks ago talking about he was involved in Operation Prairie 3. In Operation Prairie 1, they killed 1,200 NVA soldiers in a month. I mean, they were big battles, and I want to say 250 Marines were killed. I mean, they had an enemy that would get it on with you. We haven't fought an enemy like that. So it's pretty interesting and pretty humbling You know, and I, at one point I made, I said, you guys, yeah, you guys see a different reality than, you know, we say we fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. We fought what was the equivalent of the Viet Cong around Da Nang and things like that. That wasn't the fighting you did. And they all said, I never saw a Viet Cong soldier in my life. I saw NVA soldiers. And they were good. They were good. So anyway, then did that on Sunday, came back and did yard work again. Yeah, I should post some pictures of my yard work. I'm pretty proud of it. I had these trees, these shrub things that grow tall. What a nightmare. But, you know, once I make a decision, I've got to finish that fight. So anyway, I should probably start the program. So with all of that said, a wonderful weekend for me. And there's a lesson, and I'll talk about it right now. If you're out of the Marine Corps, you need to join the Marine Corps League or the VFW or the Legion. Why? Because we need to take their places, okay? Those are great organizations that do great things. But they only do it if we join, okay? They sponsor programs for young people that teach them about service to the nation. They keep the memory alive of what veterans have done throughout the history of this country. And so it's important that we join. It's important that we join. So if you haven't joined, find one and join it. Start with the Marine Corps League if it's close to you. If it's not, then hop in there. But the contribution of veterans, and Ken Pipes is an incredible veteran. You can see some of the speeches he's done. And Pipes, P-I-P-E-S. So if you type in Lieutenant Colonel Ken Pipes, you'll see some of the speeches that he get. But it's guys like him that make communities great. And veterans are a part of those communities. And it's important for young people to hear that message, to have guys like you, me, in our communities just come and bear witness to what we've seen, the courage and selflessness that we've seen that is part of what this country is. Yep. This country didn't get the way it is because nobody gave a crap about it. At various times in our history, when the nation is called, Americans have answered that call and have gone and fought. And it's how this incredible thing, that this experiment democracy functions. And yet, all you have to do is look around the world over the course of the weekend and see there's places that you're fortunate to be born in, and there's places that you're not so fortunate to be born in. In the United States, you're blessed. With all our turbulence, you're blessed to be born here. But we have a responsibility as veterans to become part of those organizations and to preach the gospel of service to the nation. Doesn't have to be all the time. It can only be a couple times a year if that's what you can do. But that's what everybody owes the nation, is service. And young people need to be taught about veterans and their contributions. And they benefit directly from that. So, yeah. Join. If you're not a member, join. All right. My weekend. With all of that said, we may check the news. Alex Holling's going to join us. He's from SoftRep. He'll join us at the top of the hour. So I got to kick this thing in the ass. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to a number of people who impacted my Saturday. Doc Ciala. This is also dedicated to Ron Reyes, to General McMonagle and his lovely wife. Here's hoping he can get some singing lessons. And to Ron Reyes. All showed up to honor, and Ken and Betty Rogers all showed up to honor Ken Pipes. To all of them, their devotion to each other, the kind of people they are, this is dedicated to them.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it, and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Keep the monkeys in the cage. Keep the monkeys in the cage. You can go to a lot of shrinks and sit through a lot of therapy and not get good advice like that. The weather in Marineland. Cloudy in 74 in Quantico, Virginia. Clouds in 80 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. sunny and 76, mostly sunny and 76 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds and 62 in Big Timber, Montana. They have a weather warning in Montana. Going to find out what it's for. Oh. Child abduction emergency. What the hell? I guess they put amber alerts up. There's also a local pollen alert in Montana. Let's see. Partly sunny in 66 in 29 Palms. Clouds in 58 at Pendleton. Mostly cloudy 78 in Okinawa. Clear in 81. It's cooled off in Afghanistan. That's in Marjan in the Helmand province. Cloudy in 59 at the home of All Marine Radio. Yeah. Looking for a high today of 75 degrees. Weather cloudy all weekend. Yeah, to include a little rain. Tuesday, high of 70 and thunderstorms. Like, what is that? What are we, the Midwest all of a sudden? Wednesday, a high of 62. It's May, for God's sakes. 62 and rain. Global warming. El Nino. I don't know what either one of those things means, but I know that's what everybody says when we talk about the weather. Global warming. El Nino. Yeah, so both of those. All right, I got to cover some news, so I'm not going to take a break. We'll take a break here at the top of the hour. Alex Hollings from SoftRep going to join us. Marineland website. I don't know if it's working today. Oh, yes it is. Top story. More reasons to be worried about cancer-causing chemicals on military bases. Oh, man. Listen to this bullshit. More reasons to be worried about cancer-causing chemicals on military bases. Fears of contaminated water near military bases grow as the federal government refuses to release new study about dangerous chemicals. You know, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand in a democracy that's supposed to have oversight. I don't understand how they refuse to release studies. How does the Justice Department refuse to just, yeah, we're not going to give you those documents? They provide oversight that for you. That means you report to them. You can't say no. And then why would Congress wait for 9 months or a year before they laid the wood to their ass? I'd give them a week, man. So we've talked about this before, and pretty amazing the stuff that's gone on for decades at Camp Lejeune relative to water, right? And so anyway, this story is broader. So I'll just read you this part. In April, Military Times reported that the Pentagon had for the first time released a full study on military installations where it has found higher than recommended levels of cancer-causing perfluoridated compounds, commonly referred to PFOS and PFOA, in either the base drinking water systems or groundwater. Patrick Air Force Base was on the list. The results were grave enough to prompt military officials to take mitigation efforts that have included closing some water wells, handing out bottled water, and instilling filters on base housing water taps. The danger of these chemicals is now widely understood, prompting the Pentagon study. PFOA and PFOS exposure has been tied to multiple types of cancer, developmental delays in fetuses and infants, and more. Contaminants are found in everyday items such as Teflon and some 3M products. Yet the military community may be more at risk because the chemicals are so concentrated in the foam the military uses to put out aircraft fires. Many military families are, of course, already worried about the long-term health implications. Those concerns intensified on May 15th when Political broke the story that senior officials in the White House and EPA had blocked the publication of a Health and Human Service study of PFOS and PFOA water contamination around military bases, a draft of which was set for release for public comment. Citing emails it had obtained, the news outlet reported that the study would show that the chemicals endanger human health at a far lower level than the EPA has previously called safe. So, for instance, if the previous EPA level was 2 million, 1 per 2 million parts, they're saying that that is much more lower, like 1 per million or 1 per 500,000 parts. Anyway, but this story has been going on at Camp Lejeune forever. And it's a terrible story. And most recently, there was a settlement reached, and Bob Nielsen is impacted by it. Yeah. Yeah, he's gone and been treated. You know, for different health issues he has that he relates specifically to the water at Camp Lejeune. Next story. Marine Battalion Commander deployed overseas with the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, or MEU, has been relieved. Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Maines, the commander of 2nd Battalion 6th Marine Regiment, embarked with 26th MEU, was relieved of his duties as commander of Naval Amphibious Force, Task Force 51, 5th Marine Expeditionary Brigade. Due to a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead that battalion. Lieutenant Colonel Chris Bopp, the former commander of 2nd Reconnaissance Battalion, 2nd Marine Division, will replace Manns as the commander of 26. There's no further details provided. There's another story that I think we'll get to here in a minute, but pretty amazing the number of people that are being relieved. The United States has criticized China's militarization of the South China Sea. Ooh, that'll scare somebody. Major General Lori Reynolds has been nominated to serve as the next Deputy Commandant for Information. Yeah, Lori Reynolds, an intelligence Marine. And I met her at Camp Pendleton. She was CO of 1st Intelligence Battalion. And information in the Marine Corps covers cyber and all kinds of other things now. So congratulations to General Reynolds. Good luck. Do you remember the story about a soldier walking off his post in Afghanistan and going into a village and killing 16 people? Yeah. Remember that? They're now blaming his malarial pills. There you have that. Top five stories. We'll do this real quick. Number one in early bird. Number one, Air Force Secretary. China, Russia could shoot down new J-STARS on day one of the war. So that's an aircraft. Yeah. It goes up there and flies and does all this crazy stuff. The president named Acting Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie as his latest pick to be the next permanent head of that department, trying to bring some stability to the organization. Number three story is a story we talked about cancer-causing chemicals in the groundwater supply around in and around military bases. That problem thought is now believed to be more broadly existing than previous. Number four story. These three posts will become the Army's next security force assistant brigades. The Army is creating now entire brigades whose job it is to go teach security assistants. Pretty interesting little concept. They're called Security Force Assistant Brigades, or SFABs. The 3rd, 4th, and 5th SFABs will be based at Fort Hood, Texas, Fort Carson, Colorado, and Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington, respectively. All home to different infantry divisions. So, congratulations to them. Interesting concept the Army has. Number 5, the Warthog replacement, anyone? Question mark. Former Air Force officers say to think beyond light attack aircraft. So, I want to find a Navy story. This is pretty stunning. This is a story I'm looking for. And then we'll take a break, and then Alex Hollings will join us. Navy fires skipper of amphibious dock landing ship USS Harper's Ferry. It's from the San Diego Union Tribune. The Navy fired the skipper of the Harper's Ferry on Thursday of last week, the 4th senior San Diego-based amphibious warship leader to be relieved of duty over the past year. What? Hell, how many amphibs are in San Diego? 5? 4? Yeah, think about that. The 4th commanding officer of an amphibious warship to be relieved in the last year. Admiral Cedric Pringle, commander of Expeditionary Strike Group 3, relieved Commander Tammy Sue Royal after superiors lost confidence in her ability to effectively lead sailors carry out her duties. Well, let me tell you, if that many people are getting relieved under Rear Admiral Pringle's command, then who should be next? Yeah, go get me the Pringles, because Pringles got to go. At some point, when you keep pointing fingers at other people, they got to point back at you. In a telephone interview, Naval Surface Warfare spokesman Doug Sayers said, quote, that sustained poor performance during an era when readiness is a focal point of the Navy were keys to Pringle's decision. On April 12th, Pringle fired Captain William Sherrod, skipper of the amphibious warship Somerset, following an investigation and concerns about his command climate. Last May, the Navy removed both the captain and the XO of the Somerset sister ship, the Anchorage, after commanders said they lost confidence in their ability to lead. The Somerset and the Anchorage are San Antonio-class amphibious dock warships. Amazing, isn't it? It's stunning. How can your command be that rotten? Aren't you supposed to be out there supervising it? Or are you just sitting up there in your office? Are you not out there mentoring? When that many people get relieved under your command, either it's this incredible coincidence or you suck too. This story is kind of interesting because I'm sure this is going a direction that the Navy doesn't want it to go. And then we'll get Alex Hollings on. Commander of the USS Fitzgerald asserts his innocence, attacks Navy's claims. Lawyers for the former USS Fitzgerald commander in charge during the ship's deadly collision last year are firing back against a series of Navy statements that they claim could damage his pending court-martial. Lawyers for Commander Bryce Benson on Tuesday issued a surprising one-page rebuke of statements from senior Navy leaders and other officials since last year. The statement from Lieutenant Commander Justin Henderson and Commander Ben Robertson detailed Benson's most extensive comments to date about the incident and claimed the Navy's harmful comments assigned guilt before the court-martial. "We are not pleading guilty," he said. "There will be no agreement." See, and that's what the Navy doesn't want. The Navy doesn't want this to be a bloody public confrontation. The Navy pointed to a recent, Henderson, which is one of the attorneys for Benson, pointed to a recent Navy news release that served as a, quote, dog whistle, unquote, to suggest Benson failed to accept responsibility for the crash that left seven sailors dead because he didn't plead guilty, as well as other comments by top Navy officials in congressional hearings and other public forums since August. For example, a November 1 report said leadership failed to adhere to safety protocols in the Fitzgerald incident. The next day, Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations, told reporters that there was negligence in the Fitzgerald and McCain crashes, adding, quote, "We found that the commanders were at fault." But a Navy spokesman late Wednesday said that earlier comments don't assign guilt. "The Navy's public discussion of earlier administrative actions does not imply guilt," said Commander Daniel Day. "Those accused are always presumed innocent until proven guilty." Last week, a news release detailed the guilty plea of a junior lieutenant in charge of navigating the Fitzgerald, who pleaded guilty to dereliction of duty. "By pleading guilty today, Lieutenant J.G. Sarah Kopic has accepted responsibility for the role she played in the USS Fitzgerald collision." And then it goes on to talk about, I want to see his statement, which I don't see included in the story. So I'll find the statement and we'll go over it at another time. Benson's strongly worded claims mark a new turn in the court-martial following the deadly Navy destroyer collisions last year involving the Fitzgerald and the McCain. Benson, who is still recovering from a traumatic brain injury sustained in the crash, has remained largely silent during the Navy's attacks on him out of respect to the families of the sailors killed in the crash, lawyers have said. Yet, senior Navy leaders have repeatedly used public forums to assign guilt, foreclose legitimate defenses, and cast unwarranted aspersions, his lawyers stated. Both of his lawyers have held their posts in the Navy for more than 10 years. Benson on Monday waived his right to a preliminary hearing to determine whether he should face criminal charges in the incident, the lawyer said. The Article 32 hearing, which was slated to take place at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. on May 21st, which would have been today, was canceled. It's now up to a panel of Navy officials known as the Consolidated Disposition Authority, which is overseeing both incidents of McCain and the Fitzgerald, to decide whether there's enough evidence to proceed with a court-martial. There undoubtedly will be. A decision could be handled down in the coming months. Commander Benson's approach to accountability stands in stark contrast with the Navy's method of litigating this case through the media and out of court opinions. Rather than achieving accountability, the Navy's strategy harms the very system of justice that it is designed to protect. Yikes. As I say, it's like they want to burn it down. They want to burn it down. So, interesting. Not quite going the way I think the Navy. The Navy would rather reach plea agreements and then not have the gory details and the pushback that they're going to get from Commander Benson. So that'll be very interesting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Alex Hollings joins us next. He of SoftRep. You can check him out. Go to the website, SoftRep.com. Put in Alex Hollings, H-O-L-L-I-N-G-S, or just look at the front page. He's got stuff all over the place. So, with that said, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Monday, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.